The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Gama, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwasi
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headline, new VAT rate takes effect. President Mahama asks China to expedite disbursement of $3 billion CDB loan. Minister of Agriculture rolls out graduates in agriculture program. Government to establish 1,600 community health centers across the country to provide quality service to pregnant women. Supreme Court Judge Riakos need to strengthen state institutions to deliver. South Sudan's army advances on key rebel health centers as rebels strengthen defenses in Bentiu. And police in Russia are hunting suspected Islamist militants after five people were found shot dead in Kars. But before that, we take the summary with Jonathan Thompson.
The acting director general of the Ghana Revenue Authority, George Blankson, says the authority has started the implementation of the new VAT rate of 17.5%. The move follows a presidential assent given to the VAT Act 2013, Act 870, in December last year. China's foreign minister, Wang Yi, has assured government that China is still committed to the full disbursement of the $3 billion CDB loan. He made the pledge when President Mahama asked that processes be expedited, as many prominent projects are still on hold due to the delay. The Chinese foreign minister was at the presidency to hold discussions with President Mahama. The national coordinator for the Youth in Agriculture program, Alhaji Adam Mahama, says the sector minister has introduced graduating agriculture program to create jobs for those who are interested in farming and animal rearing. He also explained how the graduating agriculture program would be implemented. Government is to put up more than 1,600 community health centers across the country to provide quality health service to pregnant women. In a document on maternal health strategy launched by the sector minister, Sherry Aite, in Accra, excessive bleeding was identified as a major cause of maternal mortality in Ghana. It is in the light of this that government is making strenuous efforts to reverse the trend. The chairman of Legal Aid Scheme and a justice of the Supreme Court, Justice William Atuguba, says the best way to create equal opportunities for all citizens is to proactively resource state institutions to effectively deliver their constitutional mandate instead of promoting individuals. Speaking at a forum in Kumasi, Justice Atuguba also called for a just society to prevent social upheavals that have characterized some African countries. South Sudan's army is closing in on the key rebel health centers of Bendi as rebels strengthen defenses in the area. Reports speak of hundreds of people fleeing the area. About 1,000 people have been confirmed dead. Regional peace talks to declare ceasefire have been stalled. And police in Russia are hunting for suspected Islamist militants after five people were found shot dead in Kars less than a month before the Sochi Olympics. The victims, who included taxi drivers, were left inside four cars in the southern region of Stavropol. Russia has mounted the biggest security operation in the history of the Olympic Games for Sochi, 300 kilometers south of Stavropol.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The new value-added tax VAT rate of 17.5% has taken effect. This followed a presidential assent given to the VAT Act 2013, Act 870, in December last year. According to the acting director general of GRA, George Blankson, companies have already complied with the directive. Mr. Blankson expressed the hope that registered companies would continue to cooperate to ensure that the nation recoups the expected outcomes from the new rate.
Meanwhile, the Ghana Revenue Authority Cooperative Credit Union has accumulated more than 6 million Ghana cedis as contribution of members this year. This came to light at the annual general meeting of the union. Addressing members at the meeting, a representative of the Minister of Finance, Anthony Selom Jajira, asked management of the union's fund to ensure transparency and openness to sustain the interests of members. Yeah, Kwamwa reports.
The Ghana Revenue Authority Cooperative Credit Union GRACCU, formerly the Internal Revenue Service Credit Union, was inaugurated in 1999 with a membership of about 1,300. The chairman of the management board of the GRACCU, Godwin Eromonyo, said the name of the union was changed to its current name in 2010 following the consolidation of all the revenue agencies into the Ghana Revenue Authority. He asked members to have confidence in the leadership of the fund. He said the union saw an increase in numbers and an impressive performance after the merger of the revenue agencies. Mr. Monyon outlined some achievements of the GRACCU.
The current board worked hard to build on the foundation laid in the certain structure that were in place. And as I reported during the fifth annual general meeting, our assets grew to 4.4 million with membership of about 2,500 as of June 2011. We want to recall, as we highlighted in the report for that year, that the remarkable increase in total assets and the rapid increase in membership were principally the result of the following measures that we have taken. The rebranding and launching of the union to reflect the image of the authority.
The Commissioner General of the GRA, George Blanson, lauded members for their dedication and commitment to the union. He said the best investment one can make during his working life is to cultivate the habit of saving.
When you have economic challenges and you have no one to fall on and nothing to fall on, you become vulnerable. And therefore, a staff officer who finds himself or herself in a position of not knowing what to fall on to solve an immediate, unexpected or emergency problem is a danger and a threat to revenue.
A representative of the Ministry of Finance, Anthony Selom Jajira, asked management of the fund to ensure openness in the union is to be sustained.
I will admonish leadership to be transparent and accountable. As for issues to do with people's money, the moment that trust is lost, the members could prove difficult and hostile to leadership. Let leadership not leave any room for any iota of suspicion.
Personalities who distinguished themselves in the service of the union were awarded various prizes.
That was the Aquamas report. China's foreign minister Wang Yi has assured government that China is still committed to the full disbursement of a $3 billion CDB loan. He made a pledge when President Mahama asked that processes be expedited as many prominent projects are still on hold due to the delay. The Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi was at the presidency to hold discussions with President Mahama. A team from China Development Bank is due in the country next week to settle all challenges with regards to the loan. Pascalina Dadevo reports.
In December 2011, President John Mahama, then Vice President, signed on behalf of government a $3 billion master facility agreement with the China Development Bank. The facility is to be invested in huge capital-intensive projects as well as the expansion of the country's harbors. So far, two tranches of the $3 billion loan have arrived. What is holding up the rest of the money, according to President Mahama, are a few challenges with sections of the subsidiary agreement. The issue came up during discussions with the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. President Mahama was optimistic that some sectors of the economy will be revitalized when the other tranches arrive soon.
We discussed the CDB project with you, and we're expecting that a team will come in that will be able to iron out the issues that are stalling the disbursement of that particular facility. We must be able to communicate on issues of concern between the two of us. The CDB was a very good facility, and indeed it's going to lead to the transformation of our country. One of the major investments is in the processing of gas to supply our thermal plants with gas for energy, and the slow disbursement has delayed the project beyond the period that we had hoped that it would be delivered, and that's why we are concerned about it, because that's one of the many critical projects that will help the transformation of Ghana.
President Mahama also touched on activities of Chinese illegal miners in the country. He said even though though Ghana has very good relations with China, it cannot allow its natural resources to be exploited. President Mahama acknowledged the assistance of the Chinese ambassador in tackling the issue.
We'll continue to engage in discussions with him to see how we can smoothen out the little challenge we had in the area of illegal small-scale mining. And I believe that that is another area in which we can positively cement the relations between our two countries.
President Mahama says one of his major achievements has been to resolve to a large extent the issue of illegal mining. This also came up strongly at his media encounter when GJA President Alpha Omoni posed the question.
You mentioned the fight against galamsey as one of your achievements, but the stark reality on the ground and an issue of disturbing proportions are that the government is easing the fight against illegal mining. It's your government capitulating to pressure from countries whose nationals destroy our environment with impunity. And how difficult is it to deal with such countries?
We deported almost 5,000 foreign nationals as a result of that operation. And I believe that it has minimized, you know, the space. We're coming out with additional measures in order to, you know, deal with the issue of galamsey. And the Minister of Lands and Natural Resources is working hard on the next phase. The next phase is not just using security agencies, but also adding a reclamation and a livelihoods angle to the fight against galamsey.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi is hopeful the arrival of the team from CDB will seal all loopholes. He said China will continue to work with Ghana in their mutual interest. He spoke to an interpreter.
We have both the confidence and the capability to achieve that strategic goal. And in that process, we are willing to grow and prosper together with our African brothers. And we stand ready to share governance and administration experience with Ghana, a country which has enjoyed political stability and economic development over the years.
Relations between Ghana and China spans 50 years, and Ghana is one of the largest recipients of Chinese assistance.
Pascalina Dadevo reporting. The National Coordinator for the Youth and Agriculture Program, Alhaji Adam Mahama, says the sector minister has introduced graduates in agriculture program to create jobs for those who are interested in farming and animal rearing. He said in the first quarter of this year, the program will roll out all the models it has been implementing last year. Alhaji Mahama spoke to George Ankara.
So this year, we are going through what we've been doing in the previous years. That is, we'll go into the block farm, crops, agriculture, fishing, some agribusiness, helping women to learn how to process and market their goods. We'll go into some livestock. In terms of livestock, we have some grandparent stock of pigs, and we're also trying to raise some chicken that we'll give to young men. But with our able minister, that is Honorable Kofi Humado, encouraged us to introduce a new innovation that is an additional to what we are doing, and what we call the Graduate Youth in Agriculture Program. He wants us to add Graduate Youth in Agriculture Program. And this aspect of the Graduate Youth in Agriculture Program extends in collaboration with other people. For instance, we are going to collaborate with National Service, we are going to collaborate with Minister of Trade, and we are also going to collaborate with the private sector. We will want to get some private people to import agricultural equipment, and we will engage these young graduates who want to go into full-time agricultural production to join in that aspect of production. We're rolling out what we've been doing, and our minister has encouraged us, and he is also participating in the introduction of this Graduate Youth in Agriculture program.
We have spoken about this pass on the gift process. I'm talking about the piggery and the sheep. The last time you were telling me that program is stalled because the parent stock is not there.
What I said was that we have grandparent stock. Grandparent stock means that the grandparents, that's grandmother or grandfather, then we will produce the parent stock. Then when we produce the parent stock, it is the parent stock now that we will produce and now start sharing. Now, with the grandparent stock, we have identified certain institutions. What I mean certain institutions, professional institutions that can bring up all right crossbreeds and whatever we want. For instance, University of Ghana, University of Cape Coast, Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, the Animal Production Unit of Minister of Food and Agriculture, Animal Research Institute. See, we imported about 100 grandparent stock, and we've distributed them among these institutions. They will multiply them for us, Then again, we will identify very serious and prominent farmers who will now take the parent stock, start multiplying, then we can now start sharing out this system that you are talking about. But what I'm trying to say is that people who are full-time and have all the facilities that will carry out a proper and satisfactory production scheme. That's what I'm talking about. We have to identify them. Then we'll give them the parent stock. From their point, their offspring of those parent stock, then we'll start distributing. I'm sure by the middle of this year, we should start doing that distribution. Now, the sheep process hasn't stopped. But you see, the process in some of these things, like you have to go through a certain gradual process of raising funds, getting the funds, and getting people to raise the animals for you. We are rolling out the piggery one now. Hopefully, in the middle of the year or by the end of the year, we'll start the sheep one. The sheep one took place some years back. Like, we are trying the pig one because at a certain point, we got most of the pigs wiped out because of some diseases in the country. So we want to introduce new stock of the pig nursery to pick up again. So the sheep one is on plan.
Where are you placing grass cutter and rabbitry? Are they not part of the model?
Grass cutter and rabbitry, we encourage young people to get into it. We've identified people who are into those areas. If a young man approaches us and he's interested, we encourage and introduce him to that, the owners of those grass cutters, and we support them in that scheme. So it's still on.
He also explained how the graduate in agriculture program would be implemented.
For their tertiary education, they go through a one-year national service program. During this one-year national service program, the national service secretariat will be able to identify those who are interested in going into farming. Or some of them will apply to the national service, would identify those who want to go into farming. Then we as a team will sit down and work out a package for each of those who are interested in the farming. But we'll use mostly the national service as the base source of identifying them. Of course, some can apply from other places. We will welcome them.
Is there any word of encouragement you want to give the youth out there who are saying there's no job, but we think we have jobs in this country?
The word of encouragement I want to say is that, one, all of us cannot go into farming in a country to create jobs, no? But agriculture has a good potential, good income. As I always said, and my friends will laugh at me, agriculture has the cleanest of money that you can think about. Agriculture's money is clean, it's neat, and when you use it, you feel very proud. But it takes time. You must have commitment, you must have courage, you must be patient, and you can reach where you want to reach in agriculture. Most of the young people won awards as best farmers in the country, which shows that at least the youth are taking interest in agriculture and they are coming out with good results. So my encouragement is that no profession is easy. Equally, farming is not easy. But I will say that farming has the cleanest of money that you can think about.
Alhaji Adam Mahama is the national coordinator for the Youth in Agriculture program.
I'm still on agriculture, and information scientist with the CSIR, Isaac Banning, has been explaining the importance of information science in all facets of life. Mr. Banning told Radio Ghana that in any human establishment, information is very critical, especially in decision-making. For him, it is even more important in research activities, particularly in forming databases in agricultural research.
Everybody talks about information. You see, let me give you a background to what information science is about. And in any human establishment, information is very, very, very important. You see, so if information is that important, what do we do to ensure that people in management, whenever they need information for decisions and things like that, they can, without delaying or without wasting time, lay hands on the information. So my duty here is that all the necessary information that supports our research activities. Sometimes we even need scientists to know about databases in agricultural research that are available online. We tell them how we need to access and even share information among themselves so that, you know, the research, you know, we build upon each other's work. So somebody has to know who has done what. And this means you should know the source of the information that you are going to work with. For instance, if you want to do some research on, let's say, cassava planting or any commodity, you have to find out what other people have already done on it. What were their shortcomings? So that from there, you can also build on previous knowledge so that you don't go and repeat what somebody has done and waste resources and, you know, those things. So getting the material to read, you call it literature. You have to get the literature about what other people have already done. Then you look at it, what went wrong or where did they reach and what can you do to build upon the previous knowledge?
That is Isaac Banning of the CSIR. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the Niger Stories. New VAT rate takes effect. President Mahama asks China to expedite disbursement of $3 billion CDB loan. Ministry of Agriculture rolls out graduate in agriculture program. Government to establish 1,600 community health centers across the country to provide quality service to pregnant women. Supreme Court Judge vehicles need to strengthen state institutions to deliver. And South Sudan's army advances on key town of Bor. We are back after the break.
And now the news continues. Government is to put up more than 1,600 community health centers across the country to provide quality health service to pregnant women. In a document on maternal health strategy launched by the Minister of Health, Sheri Aiti, in Accra, excessive bleeding was identified as the major cause of maternal mortality in Ghana. She said problems associated with excessive bleeding after delivery can only be managed and prevented if all stakeholders in the sector play their role effectively to combat the cause. Yvonne Asarafe has the details.
Ghana has been identified as one of the countries with a promising improvement in the maternal health situation if certain strategies are put in place. It is for this reason that in 2010, the health sector developed an operational plan known as the MDG Acceleration Framework to facilitate attainment of the Millennium Development Goal 5. The health minister said as part of the MDG 5 acceleration agenda, the prevention and management of postpartum hemorrhage or excessive bleeding after delivery is one of the areas where attention is being paid to.
Currently, the government is rehabilitating the old theater, surgical theater in Kolibu, and in addition to the old one, we are constructing 12 additional theaters for the Kolibu Teaching Hospital. Apart from Kolibu, Konfanoshi, the government has taken over the old maternity block that started 35 years ago. We have invited an American company in a public-private partnership, and I believe that the program will commence this year because we realize that Ashanti region provides medical care for about 5 regions, and all the emerging cases from the northern region also come to Konfanoshi. So this will be a 1,000-bed hospital when it is finally completed.
Now, the Minister of Health, Sheri Aiti, in that report by Yvonne Asarafe.
The chairman of the Legal Aid Scheme and the Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice William Atuguba, has repeated calls for the strengthening of state institutions rather than promoting individuals so as to create equal opportunities for all citizens. Speaking at a forum in Kumasi, Justice Atuguba said the denial of any form of justice in society is a conduit for social upheavals and destabilization, and cited the recent cases of Tunisia and other Arab countries as clear examples for all. The Supreme Court judge was satisfied that government has accepted the proposal by the Constitution Review Commission to make the Legal Aid Scheme an independent constitutional organ. The director of the Legal Aid Scheme, Yahya Al-Hassan Saini, explained that the scheme has been provided for by the Constitution to assist people who require legal services but cannot afford the cost.
Meanwhile, the minority in Parliament has decided to institute its own investigations into the sale of Merchant Bank to Fortis. This was after the Speaker of Parliament, Edward Ajaho, shot down a motion by the Deputy Minority Leader, Dominic Nitiwo, for the House to look into the issue. In his ruling, Mr. Ajaho ruled that the House cannot discuss the matter since it is pending before court. But at a news conference yesterday, the minority leader of HMS Abonso accused the Speaker of Parliament of bias and inconsistency in his ruling. In an interview with Radio Ghana, MPP MP for Second D and former Minister of Justice and Attorney General Papa Usuankuma justifies their decision to investigate the matter. He spoke to Bubu Klinogo.
The purpose of the motion was to ascertain facts, not necessarily arrive at some preconceived conclusion. The speaker says we can't get Parliament to do that. We're not even allowed to debate the matter. So what we've now decided is that what the speaker said we could not do or we could not ask Parliament to do as a minority group, we are going to do it ourselves. What we are seeking to do is to get all these facts, assemble them, and then come to a conclusion as to all the facts.
You are lawmakers, and then you understand that if a matter is pending before court, no one is supposed to comment on it. So your decision to institute an investigation into a matter that is pending before court, is that not conflicting with the court or the procedures?
The law never says that when a matter is before a court, no one can discuss it. No. The fact is that if a matter is pending before a court, generally, you don't discuss it in a way that will prejudice the outcome of the court case. This is a matter of grave public importance, matter of grave national interest. You have various civil society groups calling upon certain actions to be taken. We are talking about the utilization of pension funds. You, being a worker, has contributed to it. I, being a worker, have contributed to it.
On the same issue, the majority side in Parliament has called on their minority counterparts to render an unqualified apology to the Speaker, Mr. Do Ejaho, for wrongfully accusing him of bias and inconsistency in his ruling on the merchant bank sales saga. MP for West Central and Minister of State in charge of public-private partnership, Alhaji Rashid Pelpo, told Radio Ghana that accusations are misplaced since the Speaker's ruling is in accordance with the provisions of the Constitution as well as the standing orders of Parliament.
I think that the minority statement was self-serving. The reason being that this is not a Speaker who is learning the job. He knows this job. He's been on it for quite a while. That's number one. Number two, the Speaker had been anticipating that anything could happen about this case. And so he had been doing research about the issues that are around the sale of merchant bank. And this is not a situation where the Speaker will now have to go and do research. Any good Speaker, and indeed, it's not only Honorable Do Ejaho, right, Honorable Do Ejaho, every other Speaker we know had been doing research before they come to do ruling. If they are not certain about the ruling, they will suspend Parliament. He knew that this matter was before Parliament, and indeed all others knew it. So when the minority took that point as an issue and made a categorical statement that the Speaker was biased, I think that they need to apologize to the Speaker.
Though Alhaji Pelpo welcomes the decision of the minority to investigate the issue, he said it is much ado without nothing.
The 65th New Year School and Conference has ended in Accra with a call on public administrators, educationists, and the public to acquire skills in ICT to ensure rapid socioeconomic development at all levels. This is because ICT is among other economic factors that help develop a country. The director of the Institute of Continuing and Distance Education, Professor Yao Ohinivatsichi, who made the call, was confident that with the knowledge shared at a conference, Ghana stands a better chance of developing through ICT applications and education. Ritam Pavin Tete and George Asikri report.
This year's school did not attract as many participants as previous years. Some maintain that the theme, ICT-driven education for sustainable human development, challenges and prospects, probably scared away regular participants, confirming the assertion that ICT is not a priority for many Ghanaians. Those who participated, however, took up the challenge to improve their skills and are better off for it. Some share their experience with Radio Ghana.
I would say it's not bad. It has been a very fruitful experience here. And it's a matter of the policymakers maybe listening to the technocrats as to what we are supposed to do.
The program, as I look at it, is a very good platform to share concerns of national development. But to me, one thing that I seem to see a lot of people having good ideas. But after talking about the ideas, what next? That is my challenge.
Participants sharing the experiences in that report by Ritam Pavintete and George Asikri.
And on the foreign front, South Sudan's army is advancing on the key rebel held centers of Bentiu and Bor as rebels strengthen defenses in Bentiu. An army spokesman was quoted as saying that government troops are next to Bentiu and some 15 kilometers away from Bor. Reports say hundreds have fled violence in Bor. At least 1,000 people have been killed in fighting since December 15.
Police in Russia are hunting suspected Islamist militants after 5 people were found shot dead in cars less than a month before the Sochi Olympics. The victims, who include taxi drivers, were left inside 4 cars in the southern region of Stavropol. Police sources named 3 suspects, all from the neighboring region of Kabardino-Balkaria. 2 are allegedly Islamist militants already wanted over an earlier killing.
And I look at some of the stories that made the headlines. The Acting Director General of the Ghana Revenue Authority, George Blanson, says the authority has started implementation of the new VAT rate of 17.5%. The move follows a presidential assent given to the VAT Act 2013, Act 870, in December last year. And China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi has assured government that China is still committed to the full disbursement of the $3 billion CDB loan. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwak
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra. Thank you.